Good morning. Today is the first of the year. What a shocker, huh? Football games tonight, but this morning we've got a relatively new sergeant, huh?
It's 10 months.
Well, okay, so you're still a rookie sergeant. Do they do that?
Yeah, when you get hired, the date of hire,
yeah.
You have a year from that date, and you're on probation technically. So
right.
Technically, I'm a probationary sergeant.
Okay, so you got the bump. Lenny LaFrance is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Boy, you came like you don't trust me. I see stun things. I see gun things. I see picture things. I see two walkie-talkies.
Actually, that's for my that's remote for my dog.
And oh, good.
just in case.
And the dog can pick locks and make it in here if need be.
He's pretty manipulative, so he probably could.
Good. Well, we'll have to have some kibbles and bits then next time you're out just to keep him on the honest.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about this morning. One of them, let me see if I can find a quote just to kind of balance things out here so you don't feel like you've been short shrifted at all. Is there a really... the first one I opened it up to was martyrdom. I don't think we want to do that one, do we?
Probably not appropriate.
No.
It is the new year.
Oh. Let's see. Ah, here's an interesting one. George Seferis, I would believe is how he pronounces his name. Your eyes are lovely, but you just don't know where to look. That's a little frightening, isn't it?
That is a little frightening.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, Sergeant, that just is kind of a kick in the pants. That's cool stuff. Was it more of a feeling of recognition, of accomplishment? Okay, now new adventure. What happened when you got the promotion?
To a degree. Actually, I was pulled into an acting sergeant spot or acting watch commander spot permanently. Or not
all,
permanently.
All the makeup and everything?
So everything back in June of 2016. So I actually did the acting spot for about 8 months until the official promotion. And so once I got the official promotion through the testing process, that definitely was the icing on the cake.
So what does it mean?
More responsibility, more liability. My job, I run a watch of anywhere from 4 to 6 officers. Right now I'm working days. So it's my job to patrol the city, make sure my guys are patrolling it correctly, handling calls for service, handling complaints. There's many a variety of things I deal with as a sergeant. The one good thing I like is I actually get to go out and actually talk to community members. I'll walk around on a street if I'm looking for things like abandoned vehicles, and I'll try to solve those problems for the neighbors and make
contact. So you got a little bit of free time to kind of breathe a little bit and just kind of see folks?
Some days. More than being actually a beat officer, a little bit more. A lot of the day is approving reports. If I'm on days, I get other administrative duties as assigned.
As assigned, yeah.
Which
I've seen that in job descriptions and other duties as assigned.
But yeah, you know, for the most part, if I get a chance to go around and take my dog out and walk a problem neighborhood, either in the daytime or nighttime, that's something I like to do because it's at least going to be impactful. The neighborhoods I usually choose to walk in are neighborhoods where if you're walking in the neighborhood at 3 a.m, you probably don't belong. And so usually by...
That would be like every neighborhood.
Not every neighborhood.
Other than the hospital. Who else is up at 3 a.m?
You'd be surprised.
Legit, regular, normal people.
And not many. So folks that are trying to raise their families and go to work every day, they're not up at 3 a.m. It's usually our criminal element. So those are the folks, if I get a chance at nighttime, I'll be walking around the neighborhood with my dog, kind of just looking for them. Or my dog will actually, for the most part, alert me if someone's close by. If someone's in an alley, I'm not sure what indicates him, but he'll hear a noise, he'll smell a different odor, and he'll just turn his head, pop his tail. And for me, I've worked...
Oh, so you see a physical...
Physical change in him, and I can feel it in the leash. I've worked long enough with him for 8 years that we were a team. I mean, I know... He knows me, I know him, and so his maneuver, I can... Any change in behavior I can tell is an indication that someone could be close by to us.
What's the average career length of a police dog?
So most dogs are probably going to last till about 8 years old. So 2 to 8, so about 6 years.
So you're kind of...
He'll be 10 in March. So, but he's a very different for a patrol dog. He's very high drive, very extremely high drive. And even at 10, you wouldn't realize he's that old. He's very effective at his job. He gets compliance almost all the time.
That means he knows how to growl. Bare teeth.
I wouldn't call it a growl. He definitely barks, but it's more of a demonic scare, or a scream. It's pretty intimidating. But again, that's really when we are in an incident where we're going to use the dog, which is a pretty severe crime, a violent crime, a major felony. If we're deploying him, we want that, but we also want to make sure we're getting compliance. We want to surrender. We don't want to actually have to. We can bite people. It's part of what he does. However, my ultimate goal with the dog is compliance, hands down.
Stop is not an option. It's a command.
Yeah.
Don't take it into consideration.
Yeah. And most folks that we've dealt with over the past, since I think we've been certified since 2010, we have around, I think, 120, maybe, I think 120, I'll say, is a good number of actual arrests with him. And we only have actual 9 street bites. So you're talking a 92.3% surrender rate. So most people we contact with the dog, or he locates them, they will surrender immediately when they're told to.
That's one of the things that I remember. I think it was Dave Douglas when he was, he may have been sergeant, he may have been, that's a career path to being a chief.
Yeah.
Just a warning thing. Okay.
Good to know.
Is that the horses, back when they had a horse patrol, boy, people all of a sudden, even though horses are nice, cuddly, warm, fuzzy, boom, serious time when you got too close to them. Got people's attention pronto.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's an extremely effective tool. My Vex is my dog. He is technically not a PR dog for us.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lenny LaFrance, Sergeant with Eureka Police. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about your partner. I found it not intriguing, but somehow comforting, the pronoun you use. We.
We, yes.
We. We as a team. We do this. We do that. Is your dog, Vex, an extension of you? Are you two? So, I mean, how does that dynamic work?
I think technically by law, he is an extension of me when I'm on duty. He is a tool I can use just like anything on my belt, technically. However, he is also a living being, and that makes things a little bit different. He recognizes, say if we're in our patrol car driving around, and he hears a warble tone, which is on the radio, tells us there's an emergency call coming in. He recognizes the warble tone as he'll start actually barking or start kind of yelping. He knows we're going to go to an exciting call. And if I think through science, they look at it. They're not sure if the dog is recognizing the change in my blood pressure. And I'm able to control my adrenaline after years in the job and your blood pressure, but it still rises.
He can pick up on that, you think?
I think so. They also there's dogs that also detect when people have seizures or if their sugar's low. So dogs are amazing. They are. And again, we don't really know what it is. Obviously, some stuff for him, like the warble tone goes off. I drive code 3 to a call. After so many years, he figures out, hey,
lights are going and we're moving a little quicker than normal.
It's in theory marking it's marking an event in his life that this happens. The warble tone goes off. Dad puts the car in drive. Siren on. I bark a lot, nonstop, and then we go to a call. And I usually get out of the car. And so
you don't. Yeah, and you don't drop the windows so he can get his head out and watch as you go.
No, there's a grate back there, so he can't really stick his head out. So probably wouldn't be advised.
What is the relationship with you guys? I know he's a work partner.
Yes.
Okay. Now, some guys I've talked to in the past, you know, they go home with them. Some they don't go home with them. Some are around the family. Some are not around the family. How do you determine what level of relationship you have?
So for me, when I first got him, day and night, I would, even off duty, I would walk him. We would be out 3-4 in the morning. We'd be the legitimate people in the neighborhood walking around, just bonding. And so for me at home, for the most part, I have a 3- and a 1-year-old. They both love him. He tolerates them. but just like any
dog. It's not a two-way street at this point. Yeah, okay. No,
he'll definitely tolerate some abuse from them, which is fine. We expect that. I think he understands that they're part of our pack and our family. However, just like any responsible dog owner, I don't leave my kids alone with my dog, period.
Well, yeah. Particularly the little one.
You'd be surprised, but yeah. But otherwise, you know, he's part of the family dynamic at home. We have other dogs he gets along great with. But at work, you know, he's a four-legged warrior. And at home, he's definitely a very, very good family dog.
So how does the community then react? I mean, you got the car and it's got the notation. I'm sure that's a liability issue as much as anything. But are folks wanting to see, to touch, to feel, to meet, or is it a pullback and now you've got like this safety bubble around you?
You know, it really depends. Some of our dogs in the past have been great PR dogs. You could pet them, touch them, they lick your face. Not so much with Vex. Vex is really, in our historically for our career, has been, we have a very bad crime happen. We have a very, very bad person did something very violent, and he's the dog we'll use to take them down with.
So he's at a different level, so to speak.
He is. And, you know, most dogs that we've had in the past, that we will have in the future looking forward, it probably won't be to that level. When I was first picked him up from Mount Diablo, that's where he was boarding at when I got him. And they pretty much said, hey, everyone's first dog is a Chevy or a Ford. You're getting a Ferrari. And that's literally what he is.
So there was a little bit of notice. Now, was that because of how he was trained, or is that his breed, or did they do like a psych profile and figure out, okay, this one's got a little bit more working for him?
I think it's his line. All of his brothers and sisters have done really well. His sister was on Leno. She was a dock diving champion back in 2000.
Dock diving? Like off the dock into the water?
For some kind of tug they put up in the air, the dog grabs, and it was the world champion for 2011, 12, 13, something.
Cannonball?
Yeah. But yeah, so all of his litter mates are, you know, they're either sport dog champions. So when I go to a lot of these events, they say, what does your dog do? And I'm like, he's a police dog. They're like, oh, because in their world. And they're, you know.
An attack dog, knock it off.
You know, so it's interesting to see their reaction to us that, you know, we're doing a very important job, obviously. But, you know, we never did anything in the sport world.
None of the stunts and some of that kind
no
of
No stunts. Stuff. You know, he doesn't really know any cool tricks.
Well, I would like to think he knows how to sit.
He does know how to sit.
And that's enough, you know, for some of us, that's quite the accomplishment for a dog in the family.
Yeah, he can sit, he can stay, he can do a stand stay. You know, he can heel around, and he has your basic commands and obviously some other specialty techniques, but no real, you know, tricks of holding a bone on his nose or, you know, doing backflips or. We're probably not going to be any TV show in the near future for.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully not, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So what's his breed again?
He is a Belgian Malinois, a Belgian Shepherd, which if you think of a German Shepherd, just think of a German Shepherd that's a little bit leaner and with a lot more intensity.
But a bigger dog.
It's actually probably smaller in
than a Shepherd?
Weight-wise, yeah, because a lot of Shepherds are probably going to be, I'm guessing around 100 pounds for a German Shepherd, 75 to 100. Mals are about 50 to 65.
Okay, unless you get the beefy boy.
Like mine, 91 pounds.
Now you see 91, do you weigh him every day, or is that just where he kind of settles in?
It's where he settles in, about 90, anywhere from 90 to 95, depending on the time of the year and how much he's eating.
and who's feeding him?
And who's feeding him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Got that one. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Sergeant Lenny LaFrance from Eureka Police Department. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Lolita Cheese Company and Redec. Lenny, we've been talking about the canine part of your team. And I would imagine, even though you've got a delicate psyche, the most want to talk about the dog.
Sure.
Because it's unique, because it's different, because it's cool. Did you always want to have the canine? Is that now kind of part of you like it was with Kay?
Kind of. Moving forward, Vex should be retiring hopefully March to May sometime. He'll actually get to stay home on the couch and hang out. He might not like it, but that's how it's going to go. But I'm going to be running the program. So we're looking at I'm the only current canine right now. So we're going to build our program back up to 4 dogs, hopefully by 2019.
And the purpose of that is efficiencies?
Efficiency, for sure. The biggest thing for dogs for us is, you know, as a force multiplier. So if we have, you know, if someone's in a building, is fleeing from us, they hear a dog, most people are going to say, nope, I'm done. I do not want to get bit.
Good old pain avoidance, huh?
Yeah, and it's very effective, you know, and it's, again, but we're getting compliance, and that's what we want.
With the drug culture we have, is the canine approach one that cuts through a lot of the riffraff? Does it talk to some of the folks when they are in a different dimension, or however we reference when they're acting out and doing stuff? Does it avoid you having to break out some of your toolkit? How does that work in the field when you're dealing with somebody who may not be 100% cognizant of what's going on?
You know, it's a factor we'll consider. You know, intoxication is one thing. For any incident we respond to, or any use of force we're possibly going to use, it's a consideration we use. And, you know, it's been known that people that are extremely high in methamphetamine, handlers in the past in different areas in the country, have sent their dog to bite the suspect. They actually pick the dog up and actually walk away with the dog while the dog's actually biting them because they feel no pain.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a little bizarre.
That is bizarre, but again, you know, it's shocking what drugs can do to people's bodies and the effect it has on them. They feel no pain.
So how long will that play out?
Until the officers on scene can overcome whatever force they're facing. And that may be, you know, a dog on the bite with 6 officers on top. I mean, I've been in fights before. We have 6 to 8 officers on top of a person that's extremely high, and we're fighting with them, and we're not gaining any ground. And we have 8 people stacked on top.
That's extraordinary.
It is. It's you know, a lot of folks don't realize what this actually happens until they see it firsthand, and then they're shocked by it.
How do you guys role play or prepare for that kind of? I mean, is there any way you can do it other than you just do it and you go, okay, now I understand what the stories were?
I mean, a lot of it's going to be obviously training. I just went through a training last week. Every 2 years we have to do training to kind of keep up to date on our defensive tactics skills, firearms.
Like certification.
Kind of. You know, we can replicate, kind of make some of that in training. However, it's nothing like the street. I mean, you know, it's pretty hard to have an actor, you know, act that crazy, feel no pain, and fighting eight people and you're not gaining ground.
Even if he's beefy.
Yeah.
that would be tough to do.
I mean, sometimes, you know, unfortunately, even though we carry all this stuff on our belt, it may just take eight people pie on top of somebody to hold them down, to handcuff them.
Just dead weight.
To get them on a gurney, to put them in restraints, and then they can medicate them to bring them down.
Is that, I can remember years ago, you could always tell when there was a new load of heroin or cocaine or some of these other uglies coming to town. Because you'd see it, the reactions of it. With meth, is there anything akin to that? Or do you, are there certain people that you know that just tend to act violently when they're high on this stuff? Or do they act differently each time?
You know, it's going to be person dependent. I mean, we'll tell when we have a really bad batch of meth going around, because it'll, people's behaviors, I mean, sometimes their behavior's okay, they're obviously high, but sometimes it can be to the extreme level where they're just completely out of control, and we'll get multiple calls on them, and eventually we'll obviously find them and take them into custody. But it can be pretty severe.
Is it some a specific chemical that happens to be in that batch that triggers it, or is it just the degrading of the brain over time that gets them into that situation?
You know, I'm not really sure about the chemicals inside the actual meth. However, I mean, if you look at a lot of our folks that we deal with day in, day out, sometimes several times a day, obviously their brain's affected by it. And so it's very likely they need more dosage to actually get that high, which just makes them act even more extreme or bizarre or violent.
So even if Vex is on somebody, it's not a guarantee that the situation's done.
No, absolutely not.
Now, what about, I don't want to say regular bad guy, but let's use that as a working phrase. The regular bad guy, they hear woof, woof, and they see ears down, tail out, something coming at them like a laser. Well, okay. Hands go up. Do they immediately surrender? Or what happens in one of those kinds of scenarios?
Well, so far with my deployments with him, when I actually have actually released the leash, which has been, again, 9 out of 120, so it's rare. Most of the time they keep going. The suspect keeps running or doesn't comply, and they get drilled by the dog, and the dog has taken him down.
Now, will he come up and try to throw himself at him and knock him off balance, or is he going for meat?
He's going to go to where he can make contact with the person, either any place he can get to, he will bite, plain and simple.
So in the old days when I could run semi-fluidly, he would go for like a leg or something like that?
It depends what's open to him. If he has,
I'm trying to get away.
If you are just running and he has an open, you got to remember he's about, in his prime, he's probably about 30 miles an hour. So he's pretty.
Okay, that's about 10 times my prime.
So he's probably about 20, 25 right now in his old age or older age. So any target he'll get to, if it's the back of your arm or your lat or the back of your leg or your rear end or your calf, he's going to take that.
So he'll clump.
Oh, yeah, he will. And he will hold.
Okay.
And I mean, he's obviously he's been assaulted before. He's been, you know, he's had some damaged legs. He's been punched, been kicked. He was choked, but he does his job and he stays on. That's what's impressive about him.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:44. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this New Year's with Lenny LaFrance. The canine concept is one that is intriguing. Does a dog officer cost as much as a regular officer, or is it a way that you can not only get somebody who moves a little bit quicker, so we get maybe a little bit more respect in certain situations, eats a whole lot less. Is it a way to, you know, it seems like it's a win on so many levels, but there aren't that many of them.
No, there's not. It's definitely cheaper. So the average cost for a dog, so say we're going to be purchasing dogs here coming up in our goal is February. So the average cost for training and the dog is about anywhere from $12,000 to $15,000. That includes the 5 weeks training with the dog purchase.
So do you, as a handler, do the training? Are you there for the training? How does?
So what happens is that we first off, we're currently in the selection process for handlers. People are submitting memos. As government, we do lots of memos of interest. And once they get a list, we go through a selection process. And then once we figure out who our handlers will be, we'll say, hey, this is your personality. This is the dog we want for you. It could be a German Shepherd. It could be a Malinois. If it's a 100%.
Chihuahua?
Sure. You want a pack of Chihuahuas? We can make it happen. 15 of them. Put them in the back of a car. We can do it.
This is obviously is with the existing folks that are on board now.
Yes, and so there are some requirements, obviously. Has to have a certain amount of experience on, have to meet certain qualifications. Again, we're going to give somebody a very high-intensity dog that is trained to apprehend people, and that's a lot of responsibility.
Can you have different breeds? I mean, I would imagine there are certain scenarios where a Boston Terrier or a Chihuahua or something like that, now the bite may not be fatal. But they're going to be able to get into places and do things that a Shepherd won't, or a St. Bernard, or a Dane, or, you know, some of the really large working breeds.
Sure. So if we had just a 100% drug dog, we could take any dog. We could do it with any dog in theory. What we're looking at is dual purpose. So they're apprehension, but they're also drug dogs. And so, of course, the best combination is currently in this modern day of policing is and the military actually is going to be Belgian Shepherds or Malinois or German Shepherds. Those are the two primary dogs that are being used by law enforcement.
The bigger breeds just don't have the aggressiveness.
You know, it's
or is it the drool factor that just kind of gets
might
in the
be.
Way?
It's a lot about breeding, probably. I mean, it's once you get into the dog world, how they breed dogs is kind of. It's kind of weird.
It's an art. It's an art.
It is, and it's big money, obviously. But they definitely they find the traits they want, and they breed for that trait.
If somebody wants to know more or get involved or help support, just give you a buzz down at the shop.
They can. They can give me a call at 441-4060. A lot of folks ask about donations. That can be done for the Eureka Police Foundation. I believe Jack Ricky is running that at Ace Hardware, I believe.
Yeah, what a stunner. Jack's involved.
He is. Or they can come down and talk to me in person. I'm happy to talk to him.
Good. At least see Vex.
We can probably make it happen.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
No problem. Thank you.
Happy New Year. See everybody tomorrow.